This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number 4 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. You can check us out, 105.3thefan.com/fancam. Every day at 5, we give you the biggest stories that have been evolving throughout the broadcast day, or the biggest stories remaining. And it hasn't been the most eventful day for developing news, but something David Moore wrote about over the weekend is our top story here in the 5 o'clock segment. Coming up here in 20 minutes. We're 20 minutes away from one top NFL draft prospect and what he has to say about what it takes to be successful with the Dallas Cowboys. Does he have a good handle on it? Do you think he's got what it takes? 520, stick around. Dak situation updated here by David Moore in the morning news, and a couple interesting things going on. The numbers aren't what I thought they were going to be last week, and they choose one measurement to say, oh, yeah, we've made an offer that would make Dak Prescott the top paid player in the league. You even set off Dak fans who were so ticked off, or Dak critics who were so ticked off at the idea that Dak was going to be the number one paid player in the NFL. Well, it's a play on words, you know. And if I was Dak, I would be irritated. More included in the story, Dak is not insulted at all. Apparently, he's got a really good perspective on it because, I mean, the Cowboys kind of floated last week. Hey, we're going to make Dak the top paid player in the game. It's not an average per year, and it's not in total guarantee. It's only the case that he would be the top paid player because they would make it the fifth year instead of the fourth year. Russell Wilson has 4 and 140. Cowboys want to do 5 at more than 140. So that, to me, I know late last week I was thinking, boy, this is a really close type of deal. And maybe it is close. But if I was Dak Prescott, I'd be offended by that. You guys aren't. No, you can't just play on words and then put it out in the media. You're trying to make me the top paid player.
Gavin, it's accurate.
Yeah.
The biggest contract in the history of the league.
That's how I used to trick my little sister into trading me pennies for dimes.
Yeah.
I would say, the penny's bigger. Duh. It's worth more.
And this, see, but you lied. You said it's worth more. His contract would be worth more than Russell Wilson's. It would be.
Yeah, I think I don't think I said it's worth more. I just said it was bigger, so it's more valuable.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's not more valuable, though.
Yes, but you could also say, as Dak Prescott, I'm not the highest paid player in football. That would be average per year. Not total. The total contracts don't mean a damn thing, Jerry. So, you know, whoever floated this in the media is obviously trying to generate fan resentment towards me. And if you guys think that's okay, then maybe we aren't as close as what y'all thought. The other thing about this, though, is the franchise tag number being less than discussed. And this one actually might have more substance and be more interesting. When tag day came, it was like, oh, yeah, 33 or maybe 31. But quarterback contracts have been restructured. Kirk Cousins gets a new deal. Next thing you know, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't get a deal, the franchise tag could be around 27, maybe as high as $28.5 million. But it ain't going to 33. So now the Cowboys can say, if you want to play on the tag the next 2 years, that's fine, but it will be significantly less money than what we're prepared to give you right here with this offer. So it's definitely altering the dynamics. Now if you're the Cowboys, are you thinking, we don't have to add any more to this? We're already offering more than what the next 2 years of tag would be. We're not making this offer any better.
You should be thinking that if you're the Cowboys. The only problem is Dak still holds the cards because he's the one that plays quarterback. So if you do want him for the long term, eventually you'll capitulate to his demands, but you have a great logical and economic leg to stand on when you're talking to the agent where it's like, wait, 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 the things that you wanted are based on these numbers. Well, those aren't the numbers. These are. So now, actually, I'm over what you were – it's all just playing games with numbers and words and trying to make it all work.
Yeah, because now the agent says, well, the numbers that I care about are Goff and Wentz.
Yeah.
And you say, wait a minute, I thought we were just caring about the franchise tag numbers and what those added up to over the 2 years and averaged.
You think there's, you know, all along that, well, I was one of those guys that thought that the Cowboys would cave. There's really no reason for them to cave.
No,
I mean, if you look at, you know, on the years. I mean,
no, he's an affordable player for 2 years.
Exactly. So, they're, I mean, they could say, okay, fine. You don't want to play, you know, you don't want to play, you don't want the five-year contract. That's fine. We'll just work off the tag here. So there's no reason for them to cave. I thought they would. I thought history has shown us that they will cave. And in this situation, I don't believe they have to.
The only risk, I think, is, and I've got to get a definitive read on what the exact words in the CBA mean, but the way it's written, it says that a player on a veteran contract can't hold out. But Dak's not. Dak is a guy whose rookie deal is up and is not in a contract.
Right.
So at least the way I read it, your only fear would be that in one of these next 2 years, Dak Prescott does something that I think the general fan base doesn't think he would do, which is says, that's cool. I won't show up.
Yeah.
I think we all view him as a guy who wouldn't, but that's how negotiating works. You do what you've got to do to get your deal done. And in Dak's case, I think if a running back with 2 years left on his deal not showing up got his deal done, Dak holding out for 8 minutes will get his deal done.
Yeah, you know, and I think you have a really good point because the Cowboys still look at themselves in the window of competing. If they had a really bad year, maybe, and Dak didn't play well, maybe you would look at that differently. But right now, you got to think the Cowboys look at Dak as their ticket to all the potential success they want to have. But, man, I would start looking at this like, man, the tag numbers are down. Maybe we want to make a power play. Like, if you don't sign this, we're going to give you less of an offer, you know? We're going to bring it down a little bit more. Do you really? Because if I'm the Cowboys, he ain't leaving, guys. He's not going to go play quarterback somewhere else. I would tell him, if you don't sign this, we're going to take a little bit off of the offer, so it'll be less. And then if you want to not show up, that's fine. We're moving on. And it would be the biggest bluff, but that takes the pot right there. I'm scooping both my hands into the middle and taking all the chips. You ain't leaving, Dak. We've played enough games. Now it's time for us to bet against you wanting to leave. You don't want to go somewhere else. You're not going to win somewhere else. You're not going to have the offensive line, the skill players. We got you two number one wide receivers. This is the perfect spot for you to be. And if you want to play, oh, I'm leaving. I'm not coming. Fine. Goodbye. You know, and if the Cowboys drop that in their agent's face, the agent and the player are going to have a real tough conversation to be had. And that's the kind of conversations where the player says, dude, I'm not going to risk having to go play somewhere else to allow you to make a name for yourself off getting the biggest quarterback contract of all time. All right. Anything else, guys, before we move on?
No, Lauren, I think that's a good play as long as your bluff works. And I do think you're right. I do think you end up breaking the pot there. I think you get a – because what you do is you end up basically telling Dak, you're like, gosh, Dak, I can't believe that you've allowed your agent to push you away from being the quarterback of the Cowboys. We tried our best.
Yeah.
You're just not reasonable.
But they haven't talked to Dak. That's the problem. I mean, talk to Dak. We've all know if they could talk to the player, they tend to get deals done.
Yeah.
So obviously they haven't talked to Dak, and that's why I think what General was talking about, I would be interested to see if there really is a discussion between Dak and his agent at this time, like, okay, what are we doing here now?
If you give that line that I just gave to the agent, would he even tell Dak about that? Because if he goes to Dak and says, hey, here's what they're threatening, that's going to generate a conversation with the player real quick, isn't it?
I think Dak is smart enough to know what's being said out there about him, that he needs to ask those questions of Todd France. And if Todd France doesn't come up with good answers, then something needs to be done on that regard.
I mean, we're lingering pretty late.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks don't get left out on the vine like this. Maybe Drew Brees did a couple of times, once with the Chargers, once with the Saints, and then Kirk Cousins. But, you know, you're really getting down to it. Okay, Lawrence Tyne, former Chiefs and Giants kicker, two-time Super Bowl champ, tweets, He must be a Kai Forbath guy. He tweets, Forbath went 10 for 10 as a fill-in with the Cowboys this season. Same age, probably cheaper than an injury-prone Zerline at 82% for his career. Dumb signing. That's Lawrence Tynes, former NFL kicker, coming after the Cowboys for that signing of Zerline. Fish was on earlier, though. This is a common take, and Fish broke it down in a way it made a lot of sense. And I get it. All weekend long, I'm like, man, you know what? These haters have a good point. But there's offset language. So if they decide to not keep Zerline at the end of camp or cut him earlier and he goes and signs somewhere else, then the guarantee that the Cowboys gave Zerline is negated. So if he goes somewhere else and signs a $2 million contract for a year, then boom, Cowboys are essentially way off the hook. And obviously, if you choose Zerline over Forbath, Forbath just has $100,000 of guarantee. That wouldn't even count against the cap at all with no worries. So the Cowboys kind of found a creative way to give themselves two chances in training camp. The ideal way would be, hey, Zerline's healthy. He's kicking the hell out of the ball. Let's go with him. Or if Zerline's still hurt or got old or whatever, gets fat, then boom, we're done with him. And some other team's probably going to pick him up and let us off the hook financially a little bit.
I like the gets fat idea. I'd love to see Zerline just walking around at 280.
Yeah, it could always happen. You know, just like our old buddy from the last hour. Okay, have you guys determined your quarantine name yet?
No.
Have you seen this on Twitter?
Mm-mm. No.
You take the last thing you ate and your high school mascot. Man, I got people horsing around on my Twitter feed. If you guys hadn't seen this, I swear I've seen this like 20 times a day.
So my name is Turkey Burger Eagle?
Turkey Burger Eagle. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Turkey Burger Eagle.
Chicken Salad Longhorn?
Chicken Salad Longhorn. That's pretty. I think mine.
I don't know, man. I'm not helping you here. This is nothing unique.
I had Trail Mix Thunder. That's my.
That sounds like a
name.
That sounds like a good product. Actually, we need to come up with Trail Mix Thunder.
It was perfect with the AC/DC song Thunderstruck. Are you being thunderstruck? We were.
Could I change it to one of the sides that I had that was right before that was with my turkey burger, and then change it from my high school to my elementary school to be Broccoli Blackhawk?
I think that plays.
Okay,
I think that'll work. I think, you know, there's some creative license that's possible with this.
Okay,
if you don't like it, you know, nobody's gonna. Fact check you?
Are you guys finding yourself all the like top five questions that people asking on Twitter were kind of neat early, and now it's a nuisance? Do you
top
feel like everyone? So give me your top five wide receivers. Give me the top five stadiums you've been. Like it's first one, last one, you know, all that. Are you finding
people don't ask me those questions.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
I must follow some people that are strange because every time I look up, somebody's asking me to give them a top five list of something.
I've seen a lot of those. I liked earlier I saw the top five safeties.
Yeah.
And it was Dan Orlovsky running out of the back of the end zone. as the number one safety.
There you go.
Yeah, I enjoy those so far. I hear you at some point it will have gone overboard like the MJ crying face meme.
Right.
That had gone overboard and then stayed popping up every 5 seconds for the next 3 years. We aren't quite there yet.
I have enjoyed – there's been like these things, and I'm trying to remember what they were. Like one is like there's an alley-oop to save your life, and it's based on your birthday. Like, okay, so the month gives you one player. The day gives you another one. Like, there are some people that are sending out some really cool things, and if I can find some of them, because some of them would lead to my – oh, and one was like a receiver has to make a catch on a corner for your life, and it's the same thing where it's like your birth month and then the day, and I got like the worst receiver ever against like Dion, and it was just like, well, crap. Those kind of things are fun.
No, that's not fun at all against Dion. It's
well,
over.
No, but they're fun. They're fun. Oh,
fun
things.
Hypothetical.
It's
just
the combination that I got was not fun.
I want Dez Bryant against Jordan Lewis in the rematch of the ages. Was that Dez Bryant's final training camp? I think it was.
Yeah, I think so.
This ain't what you're used to. Is that what Ball God was saying back to him?
Yep.
We're different or something.
We're
like
different.
That.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, everybody was trying to be done with practice except Dez.
Yeah.
Get back up.
What a scene. Olympics have been rescheduled. July 23rd, 2021 is the new date. So they're locked in there for Tokyo next summer. First postponement in Olympic history. Although they were canceled three different times for the wars.
War. Yeah.
This one is this one, and everybody that qualified, you get to keep your spot. So there will be no preparing to requalify. The estimated cost, $4 billion that Japan's going to have to spend on rent and upkeep for these different spots that they've transformed into Olympic venues. They're going to have to keep the lights on, keep things clean for a year. And, boy, that's a lot of money for rent and upkeep. You're going to have to send some maintenance crews.
I don't know how people or how these countries determine about having the Olympics. It just seems like it is just a disaster when it's, you host the games, but then when it's over with, it's like it's scary what these venues turn into.
It's a scam. You know, it's a really good way for leaders of nations to make deals to pay off construction people, right? Like, oh, boom, $1.5 billion construction contract. There you go, man. And now you've scratched his back, and now for the future you have this major asset and resource. This isn't, of course, you know, nations that aren't sophisticated, right? That would be the absolute worst. That's what happened in Russia with the Olympics. I can't speak on Japan or Brazil, but for a lot of these countries, it's like a major scam to get these contracts, and then we'll siphon all the money essentially from the taxpayers who are paying for these buildings to get built to enrich the economy with the Olympics, the World Cup showing up. So we'll take that money, we'll build the stadiums, and the payoff never comes. But the promise is, oh boy, look at these stadiums we've built. This is going to be incredible. We'll be having events here year-round. And then you're right. You see those pieces on like 60 Minutes or 2020, Olympic venues 5 years later. And it's amazing how the forest can just overtake these, you know, massive shrines to competitive sports that had just been built. All right, speaking of that, Lionel Messi says Barcelona's players are surprised that people inside the club would want to pressure them into taking wage cuts, and confirm the squad are happy to take a 70% hit on their salaries because of the coronavirus pandemic. He said they were going to do it anyway. And he was shaming management for trying to strong-arm them into doing something that they were already going to do. It's a really interesting story out of the world of soccer today. Apparently, Barcelona is like Green Bay, where there's no private owner and financer and like a backstop financially. So if they go bankrupt, they would be hosed. They would be like completely hosed. So the players were already thinking, what do we have to do to keep this thing afloat in the months that we're not going to be able to be playing soccer games? And then the FDA has approved new machines that detect coronavirus in minutes.
There we go.
I wanted to leave you there with some.
There we go.
Some positive corona news. Yeah, the FDA has approved a new machine that can detect corona in mere minutes. Abbott Laboratories' new machine can give positive results in as little as 5. The machine's about the size of a toaster. It can give negative results confirmed in 13 minutes. And the Maine-based company plans to start making 50,000 of these machines per day starting today. And the FDA has fast-tracked its approval. So, good deal. Okay. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, a top prospect on what it takes to be successful with the Dallas Cowboys. That's coming up next on 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. A top draft prospect. Broadus has been talking about this guy as his most likely pick to the Cowboys at 17. Well, he says he's talked to the Cowboys already and has some really interesting things to say about what it takes to be successful as a player on America's team. Segment of The Fan is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Franklin Frankel at 214-333-3333 or get online to truckwreck.com. Franklin Frankel, official lawyers of the Tolo. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. So, yeah, Kalyvon Chaisson, second best pass rusher in this draft, right, after Chase Young.
In my opinion, he is. And I know people on Twitter, I was just checking that, Jeff, they're upset that we didn't have him on our list.
He would not be in my top two tiers.
I know. I let you get away with that.
Have him in tier two, Brian?
I would have him in tier two. But, okay. You know, sometimes you win arguments, sometimes you lose arguments, and I gave Jeff that leeway right there.
Hey, we'll put him in there. I left out your Ross Blacklock because I wasn't going to let you get away with that one.
That's what I'm saying, though. Put Chase on it. That's fine. I mean, I know that folks out there listening, they're kind of like going, well, where's Chase on? I think we're starting to condition people, if they're listening to our 420 segment, that you know, that's a possibility right there.
Yeah, a strong possibility. I'm starting to get those Leighton Vander Esch vibes from a couple of years ago when 3 or 4 weeks before the draft, a lot of people started talking about, how Vander Esch appeared to be the guy. And we still have a number of weeks to go, so it could change, but he's who I'd expect. Anyway, got a tweet here from Bobby Belt at Bobby Belt TX, and
good
he
man.
Interviewed Chase on. Yes, Bobby, a producer with the NFL Network. And he tweeted, "I always ask prospects I interview what they would think about playing for the Cowboys. Chaisson gave me the most thoughtful and perceptive answer I've ever gotten in 5 years of interviews." He says, "Yes, we've spoken before. We've had a couple of conversations. I felt like it was going in a great direction. Hopefully down the line we get to speak more and more often." So Chaisson would like to be a Cowboy. He says, "But just playing for the Cowboys, that's a true test. When I say that, I mean how traditional the organization is, the franchise is, and that's something that the fans and the program take pride in. If you're not willing to give it all, 100% attention to it, your 100% dedication to it, it will come back and haunt you. And I've seen many players who get in that area and they excelled, and some who can't handle it. You can tell. And like I said, the fan base is serious. They take pride in it. They honor it. And it's something that you've got to be really up to the task to play for the organization." It's interesting because it's 180 degrees from the narrative that's out there quite often, the one we talked about last year where, you know, the players become entitled or complacent after a good season. It's 180 degrees from the description Greg Hardy gave after his ill-fated one season with the Cowboys, saying he felt that the organization gave players the sense of entitlement and they would clean up any mess that you made. But it's, you know, a valid perspective, and I think one that many players might have, that, you know, this organization is about standards and the history of excellence and the fans. I feel like fans are entitled to something and are unwilling to do what it takes to keep the organization accountable. But, you know, that's not Chaisson's perspective on this. He, you know, he feels a certain way about it. And, you know, maybe from the outside in, that's the way things go. What do you think about what Kalyvon Chaisson said about being a Cowboy? Do you agree with this?
Sorry, we were both looking at each other. We did a bad job with Zoom communication.
Yeah,
there.
We've been doing pretty good on this. You'll go, and then you'll start. That's what I was waiting for.
I think it's a really good answer. Like, I think what his answer there, to me, part of what worries me about Kalyvon Chaisson as a prospect is that there's sort of a lack of consistent production to look back at. You'd love to, in a first-round prospect, be able to look back at really like a couple of years of consistently like, that's what I'm going to get. But he's more one of those guys that, as he was healthy towards the end of the year, he flashes this really incredible ability. And that makes me feel better about his ability to get the best out of himself down the road. And I know it's just words, but that's a pretty thoughtful answer to a fairly, I don't want to say generic, because it's a good question, but like, if you were to be playing for the Dallas Cowboys, what does it mean to you? That's a lot of thought and having, I think, a really good perspective on what it means. And it sounds like a guy that's really not afraid of a spotlight or not afraid of a challenge or expectations. And so I take that as a positive.
Yeah, I think a lot of these kids from LSU, the fact that they got to go through that whole national championship experience, the playoff games, the championship game, the season in the SEC, you know, I think it made a lot of those kids battle-tested. And they got a big dose of that. And I think that teams that do select them are going to get players that are ready to step in and play. And, I'm glad to see that finally LSU, we have a thoughtful answer. You know, usually it's just like, hey, we'll show up and play. That's all we do. And, you know, Coach O, that's his whole demeanor right there. You know, it's a one heartbeat kind of a thing. But
That's what I think. I think he's bringing that championship mentality, and he's just saying good stuff about the Cowboys.
I think these kids are very mindful now about what goes on. I mean, we've all seen what happens when you wear the gas mask and your uncle that sends the video out, and then next thing you know, you go tumbling down the draft board.
I believe that was stepfather, sir.
Well, whatever. It was
worst stepdad ever.
Worst stepdad ever. But yeah, I think that. This is the time where it gets really critical. We're 3 weeks out, and nobody wants to misstep with whatever they say or actions. Look what happened to Dak Prescott. He got the DWI or the DUI, you know, and that's something that a lot of teams went back and said, well, wait a minute, you got this, you know, and he had to answer all those questions. So I think we're all very mindful of actions and very mindful of words. I give the kid credit for having some perspective. Usually at LSU, we don't have that kind of perspective.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's kind of like Randall Cobb talking about the Houston Texans and why he chose that, and he just went off talking about the history of winning that down there. And it's like, well, the money.
You don't. I would just one time like these guys to say that. You know, like, it's the I'm a veteran player. I'm on the back nine. I'm playing the 15th hole. I've got to make some money here. I wish somebody would say that instead of, well, I have a chance to win a Super Bowl here. No, you don't. You sent your best receiver to the Arizona Cardinals for nothing. Yeah. So don't tell me that it's about that. It's not about that. It's about you got the best deal. You were surprised you got the best deal, and you signed the best deal. Congratulations to yourself, sir.
Other teams were offering 2 and 15. This team stepped up and said 3 and 27.
No question. No question.
Next question. What do I know about Houston? Not much.
Yeah.
Been there a couple of times on road trips. Next question.
No, there's not any state income tax here. Know that.
I like that too. Yeah.
They do have good Mexican food in Houston.
Oh, excellent Mexican food. Yeah.
El Tiempo. Good food.
It's so charming when you get a straight shooter like that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I just like people that are honest, and maybe you got to be nice about it and chasing rings and all. I get it, but just come out and say what it is. I'm at the end of my career, man. I'm grateful I got this opportunity. I'm glad I played well last season. You know, I was banged up a lot at Green Bay, had a healthy season. I feel good. Feel like I could help, but, man, the deal was just too good to pass up.
Love it. Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons, a one-time rival of Jerry Jones, talking with Peter King. Blank was asked, what are you doing to maintain sanity during the pandemic? I think this is going to be the next major topic in America as we look forward to how are we getting our food and winter sports coming back and all this stuff. We're in a routine. Now, how much is the routine possibly affecting mental health? Arthur Blank had an incredible answer. Said, I usually walk and exercise a lot under any circumstances, but now I know it's important to exercise the body and calm the mind. I told our associates the other day, you've got to find ways to calm your mind, whether it be thinking, meditation, reading, prayer, slower breathing, whatever it might be, do something, because it's easy under these conditions to have your mind racing all over the place. It's important to be able to keep your body moving, keep it functioning, keep it active, and yet have a calm mind at the same time. Sounds like he's talking about doing yoga, you know?
Yeah.
Have a calm mind, exercise your body.
No, I tell you,
like that.
Other than doing radio with you guys for 5 hours a day, going out and running for an hour has been the most wonderful thing in my life, because you could get bogged down. If you sit there and you watch the news, you could get really, really depressed. You know, I've got a mom and dad, 81 and 77 years old. Every day I'm fearful something can happen to them. But you got to get out. You got to take care of yourself, both mentally and physically. You got to fight this thing if you can. And, you know, you got to be mindful of the people you're around. I'm out there, not that it's packed trails or anything like that I'm running on, but if I see people, I stop. I let them go by. They let me go by. We wave. You know, we kind of look at each other and say, okay, we understand what the situation is. But Arthur Blank is right. You've got to do things to try and help yourself get through these tough times.
Yeah, you know, the exercise might kick up your cardio, and that might come in handy if you do find yourself in a fight for your life with the COVID-19.
I challenge myself because of one of the things they talk about is the breathing. And it challenges me to run to breathe. And I know, okay, I'm breathing good. I feel good. I'm moving along here. You know, those are things that puts my mind at ease for sure.
Yeah, you know, you talk about breathing, there are like lots of different things that can be done with breath. I was reading recently about this Navy SEAL trick to calm down. It's just to count to four, breathing in, hold for four, and exhale for four. And after like three cycles of that, whatever was crushing you as far as so ticked off about it, it's like you get just a little bit of space to come back at it and readdress the situation without it like reaching the feeling that you feel like this avalanche of stress just rolling over you.
Yeah, I tell you what happens too is age will do that to you as well. You know, that release, because really? I used to be mad a lot. And I the older you get, the more I've learned I don't need to be mad all the time. Yeah. I just you have to get yourself through things, you know, and you said, hey, it's not worth it, me being pissed off at Mickey every day. You know, it just it wasn't worth it. It really wasn't, you know, and you know, he would be mad at me, I'd be mad at him. And, you know, I mean, I love Mickey. I mean, I do. I mean, I worked with him, but I mean, it wasn't worth it. There's a lot of things that happen. You're just not worth it anymore.
Yeah, and you're taking that stuff along with you now that you're home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, crap, I'm sitting here at home, and if you can't be peaceful there, I think that should be a significant clue. Like, man, maybe I should pick up a book or look at some of this breathing stuff or maybe start heading down that direction, especially now with more time on our hands and more triggers for overwhelming stress. Anyway, that's Falcons owner Arthur Blank talking about how he's coping with it. He was also asked, as the NFL owners are, they're getting together, is it today or tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Okay, so tomorrow, and they're going to vote on playoff expansion and a bunch of, you know, off-season thoughts. So Peter King asked him about, you know, what's your thoughts going in? And he said, if I had to speculate now, and I use the word speculate because that's all that really is, he said, I think, yes, we are going to have a full 16-game season in the fall. He says, only because it's so far away from where we are today, though. I could easily see camps being shorter, players being tested on a daily basis, things of that nature, no fan attendance, things like that. We may have fewer preseason games, which probably wouldn't be the end of the world. But but I think by September, my hope is by the time the regular season starts that we will be able to bring people together in some form or fashion in a safe manner and play. And I think he's right because the other leagues are going to try it first. They're going to be able to watch the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball try to play games and keep their players from getting reinfected. And if they're successful, by the time we get to September, hell yeah, we'll be chomping at the bit, and maybe the system's going to be perfected. How do you transport players? Do we need to have just one stadium where all the teams go to and take turns playing in order to be on TV? What do we got to do? But there are lots of contingencies, and the NFL owners are going to be talking about that tomorrow.
It would seem like once you get to a point where you can, like, the Jazz were able to get tested pretty much immediately, right? So the testing is getting pretty darn available. It sounds like we're getting better at getting results back quicker. I would think that depending on how much we flatten the curve and where we are months from now, a couple months from now, it seems like the biggest challenge for the NFL would just simply be the numbers. Because basketball and baseball, you've got less players on each team. You've probably got less staff that has to be involved over the course of a game. So I would think that their biggest challenge is just the number of people, but it seems like we're headed in a direction. Dude, we're so good at technology and getting more efficient at things and how quickly we do it that I guess it all depends what happens over the next couple of months, but I would imagine you could easily get to where it's like, yes, test everyone in the organization. Everyone's good? Great. There's two? Sweet. We figured out the transportation. We figured out the how the network's going to handle it. The camera crews are going to handle it. Bang. Go. So I would think we'll have football, whether it's on time or not. I'm thinking we will. If not, I'm going to get more sad.
Yeah, I would too. I think the next 2 to 3 weeks are crucial for it. I saw South Korea has flattened their curve. It spiked in the first 2 weeks. Now it's flat. Are we going to be in a similar spot like that in 2 weeks? And if we are, then absolutely. It's going to be like, crap, well, maybe everybody can't get back to work and everybody's still got to be careful until we have a vaccine or a cure or something. But for some select businesses that are able to keep people isolated and quarantined and, you know, do a lot of testing, like we're going to adult film style testing, right? Before and after every shoot, you're going to get tested. Then I think as long as that that curve is flattened off in the general public, everybody's going to be on board for that.
Yeah, you have to get everybody on the same page, though. General, you know, I mean, again, we have, you know, 75% of the people doing what they're supposed to do, and 25. Maybe the number's too big there, but eventually, somebody. I mean, it's got to be 90%. It's got to be, you know, you got to find ways to say those countries over there are shutting it down or knocking it out because they're on top of things. And I feel like that we're on top of things, but there's still some things that are going through the cracks that people aren't taking this seriously.
Yeah,
you know, I think those countries over there said, "Whoa, wait, you can wipe us all out here? oh, okay, well, maybe we should take this seriously. And I think that's the issue right now here in the United States.
Are we taking it seriously enough to flatten the curve? We're not taking it that serious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I worry. Yeah. I worry. You have a president, and again, a very difficult job, but he is a businessman. He understands, he understands how to operate, how to make millions of dollars, billions of dollars by businesses. He understands how important the economy is. So he is going to say, whatever I have to do to save businesses, I'm going to do. But we have to be ready for that. We have to be prepared to make the right decisions. So when we get into it, we're not taking steps back. That's what I worry about.
All right, it's time to be prepared now for Jeff Kavanaugh's unnamed segment of the day. Where are we going with that, sir?
From homeless to Cowboys first-round pick, it's possible for this prospect. It's next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Coming up at 6 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Could Drew Brees be the next Monday Night Football analyst? I thought he's getting ready to play. The answer to that and more coming up at 6. Here's Jeff Kavanaugh with his unnamed segment of the day.
Thank you, Gavin. I enjoy part of the NFL draft that I think is really enjoyable is learning the journeys of a lot of the different prospects and how they got to this place and sort of what created the person that they are today. And reading about South Carolina defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw this morning has me cheering for him harder than I was before. This is a guy that potentially could be the Cowboys pick at number 17 if he's even available at that point, and there's a decent chance that he's not. But a guy named Josh Weinfuss on ESPN did a story on Javon Kinlaw, and he opens it with this. Javon Kinlaw has childhood memories, gunshots, dead bodies, needles, addicts. He doesn't want to think about. He doesn't block them out. He just doesn't want to talk about them. They give him bad dreams. They wake him up in a cold sweat. It's what he calls his trauma, and he doesn't want to go down that road. Quote, I'm not comfortable talking about a lot of stuff like that, Javon Kinlaw says. So he's a senior D tackle out of South Carolina, projected to go in the top 20 in the NFL draft next month, and he is currently a long way from the part of his childhood where he was homeless in Washington, D.C. So as he's interviewing here, they're having a basket of hot wings, which is Kinlaw's second serving. You know, you got to keep that 324 pounds up. You got to have a couple of servings of hot wings.
Orange wings. Some General's orange wings.
Orange magic. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably take about a 30-40 pack of those and handle
so
up on those. 30 or 40
right
pack?
Up.
Why not? Yes. Mm-hmm. General's wings? Absolutely.
Yeah. He talks about in here how Javon Kinlaw obviously is about to have some money because he's going to be a first-round pick, more than likely, and says, you know, that'll change his life, his daughter's life, his future grandchildren's lives, and a couple more generations down the road. But Kinlaw's quote is, I know I'm going to get some type of money. The way I'm wired, I've been down, like down bad. Down bad. Bad like where no one should be. Lived in basements. No matter what the money is, I'm going to be grateful. I can get me somewhere to live, regardless of where I'm going to be. I'm going to find me somewhere to live. So I don't care what amount it is. Which, holy cow, what a great perspective. I remember when I was having lunch one time with our buddy Ralph Strangis, and he was the first one to point it out. He was like, you do realize that like 90% of us, we live like kings.
And if
you really think about it, we live much better than kings. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have plumbing and running water. It's like the things that we consider to be basic, everybody doesn't get it.
No, there's actual poverty, and then there's social poverty.
Yes. So Javon Kinlaw, growing up, he wasn't always homeless. He lived in an apartment in the D.C. area with his mom and one of his brothers until he was 7 or 8. Their landlord sold the building. They ended up at a house that his grandpa sold to his mom's friend before moving back to Trinidad. The house started falling apart. The roof caved in. They have to move again. He's 9 or 10 years old. He'd go without electricity or running water. He used the neighbor's hose to fill up totes of water that he'd bring back to the house he was living in. So this was to take a bath or a shower.
Oh, my goodness.
He would go to the neighbor's hose, fill up totes of water, take that water. They have a gas stove, which they would light with a little match. You get a big pot, boil the water, then mix that with some cold water, put that in a bucket, take it upstairs, take a shower. That's how, when he was 9 or 10 years old, he was taking a shower. New clothes only at the start of the school year, and they'd have to last. He'd rotate between one pair of jeans, a couple pair of shorts, a hoodie, and some shirts. Lived in basements with his friends. Didn't complain to his mother, who moved to the United States from Trinidad in 1995, that he didn't have new shoes or wished his life was better. He didn't ask for more food or a jacket because he knew the answer. Quote, "I really don't think it was still that bad, even though we went through a lot, because to me, that's what it was. I didn't care about that stuff. I still don't. I mean, we were used to living like that. If I was living like that now, it still wouldn't really bother me because I already know what it feels like. Even though it was like that, we had a lot of good days. It wasn't really, I mean, it was bad. For the next person, you could probably say it was pretty horrible. But for me, I don't think it was that bad." How's that for a matter of perspective? Mm. Like, I lived it, and we got by, so whatever.
I mean, some inconveniences aren't necessarily hardships, right? You're just on the planet at the wrong time. In the Wild West, like, if you could go get clean water and a fire and put that to a tub and create hot water, boy, you know, you might pay $5 for the right to have access to those resources in any given day. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we might see as inconvenient and get all bent out of shape about it, but it's actually not that bad until you're hungry, you don't have shelter, you're being abused, or you're traumatized.
My water at the house only gets warm. It doesn't really get hot enough. Like, I turn it all the heat all the way up, and it's just warm. I sure would like it if it would get a couple of degrees.
Check your hot water heater?
Yeah, I just, that seems like a big thing, and I don't want to have to do a big thing.
Like, you might blow something up in the house if you do it?
Well, no, like, if I really looked into what's going on, maybe I might need a new one, and that would cost money.
Maybe there's
and
a Cholo.
I'm functional.
Maybe
I'm
there's
functional.
A Cholo out there who would help you with that, Jeff.
So that's is your shower just lukewarm?
Yeah.
Or does it get hot enough?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It gets hot enough, but it doesn't get hot. There is, I turn it all the way up, and I would like to be able to turn it significantly higher. That's what I'd go with. Hmm. So now imagine the 9 or 10-year-old child who ends up homeless. There is some hardship with that. So eventually he would ride the metro around D.C. with his brother and start skipping school. Sometimes they rode it just to stay warm. If he went to school and he wasn't being the class clown, he'd go to the bathroom for a half hour at a time just to avoid being in class. And so now, classic, grow up with hardships, end up acting out in some regard or making some sort of decisions, probably based on the scarcity of things in life. So yeah, middle and ninth grade, what's that?
Sorry, I just heard a podcast about this. The class clown can't act like a child at home. So he's taking the opportunity to try to actually be a kid. By being
and reason why?
Okay, this is interesting, so I'll give you a different perspective on it, but I think they're all kind of related in some sort of way. Like, I think there's a multitude of reasons you could be class clown. I was class clown, and for me, what I've learned is that was me trying to make sure that other people were entertained and didn't feel the way that you feel inside. You don't want other people, like, that's a depression thing.
Was that your mechanism?
It's a depression thing where for no real reason from the outside world that you feel terrible inside. Mm. And so you want other people to feel better than that. And so you act like a clown, hopefully to make people laugh.
Fascinating.
Middle and ninth grade. Javon Kinlaw moves to South Carolina to live with his dad, supposed to be a way to escape the streets of D.C. Instead, the dad that he moves in with was an alcoholic who got physical with him at times. The live-in girlfriend didn't want Javon Kinlaw around, ends up living with a teammate during his senior year, gets bullied because he's fat, and he has bad clothes and shoes. Teachers doubt him, tell him you're going to amount to nothing. You might be in jail. What's that?
That's always fun.
Oh, yeah, isn't that fun? You'll never graduate college, all
teachers.
That.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford to play Pop Warner football as a kid. Mom couldn't afford it. So he didn't start playing football till he's a sophomore in high school. And it was just something to do and a way to eat up time without getting in trouble. And Coach there told him, didn't sugarcoat it. He said, here's the thing. You have a lot of size. You're not good.
Oh.
The size attracted attention, though, including from Steve Spurrier.
The old ball coach.
Yeah, Steve Spurrier's son offered him a scholarship. Kinlaw didn't know what that meant. Oh. He was like, what do you want to offer me? I don't know what you're talking about.
A scholarship? Like, do I have to go to class?
Yeah, he was like, so crap? I didn't know
not
what that
not in South
meant.
Carolina.
So he's still struggling away from the field during his senior year in high school. Teachers, assistant coaches, equipment manager came to the head coach asking for him to be kicked off of the team because of his grades, effort, run-ins. Coach refused. He said, football's the only thing he has. I'm not kicking him off the football team. Mm. And so Kinlaw's got trust issues. He's got all these different things going on. And where the maturity thing starts is when he goes to Jones College, because he has scholarship offers. And so now I've got a scholarship. I'm going to take it. And he dropped out the last half of his senior year, got his GED, got to a JUCO in Mississippi
Jones, yeah.
And I believe that it was Will Muschamp that kind of helped him plan all this out, where he was like, you can get here, you can focus on the football, and you can get some sort of structure. He's got no driver's license or a birth certificate, which he still doesn't have, by the way.
Wow.
But they say he left there a new man, following directions, trusting people, giving better effort on the field. And my favorite part of the story, he was also heavier. He'd been scrambling for food most of his life. At Jones, he could eat all he wanted, but he didn't know that at first. He didn't eat the first 2 days he was there because he thought he had to pay for food. He called Will Muschamp, who ordered him a pizza, and then explained the way a college cafeteria works. Kinlaw said, quote, all this food was free? I started going crazy.
That'd be awesome.
He goes from 280, and then he's playing football at 305. In the fall, he gained 25 pounds, but then he got to South Carolina. He's weighing 347. He found the cafeteria. He's out of
shape. Time to go the other way.
Yeah, so he'd reverted to some of his bad habits. He's not doing what he needs to do in team meetings. And then at South Carolina for the first time, he gets destroyed by offensive linemen in every practice. And he said, I'm like, damn, being like that made me realize this is not a joke. So there he changes his mindset. He starts losing the weight. He hits the weight room harder. He starts studying. He's watching the film. And he says, that's when I started falling in love with football, really, which was when he finally got to South Carolina and started getting his butt kicked. Hmm. And as happens to so many people, the final piece of the puzzle that's unlocked what Javon Kinlaw is becoming and wants to turn into. Let's see. He says
Roy.
He, yes, no, it says he likes who he is now at a place in his life he didn't see coming in a million years. He plans on building a homeless shelter with the money he makes in the NFL, as well as taking care of his family. On March 25th, 2019, Javon Kinlaw became a father.
Hmm.
Quote,
congratulations.
That's why I go so hard. Why I put my soul into this, because something like that can really affect you. I just want her to have a fun childhood, not have to worry about things she shouldn't have to be worrying about as a kid. And quote from Will Muschamp, he's a great example of not letting your circumstances define who you are. Unbelievable example for that. The guy persevered, worked, model citizen when he was here, did everything we asked him to do. It's a long way from boiling the neighbor's hose water to take a shower. Each year, something about who I am changes, he says, like every year. See how I'm talking to you like this? If this was 3-4 years ago, I would not be talking to you. I'd probably think like you were trying to set me up or something. My life's already changing. I don't really know how much more it's going to change, but it's already changing. End of article. That is the story of Javon Kinlaw, potentially the 17th pick in the NFL draft.
I'll take him.
Yeah,
I'll
great
take him
story.
Too. I
already wanted him at 17. I don't think he's going to get there, but if he does, expect the Cowboys to jump all over that, right?
Let's go.
I mean, a guy that at 20, is he 22 now, 21 years old, already transforming himself, has had some, you know, very meaningful life experiences that give him a perspective on appreciation, had two different times in the last 4 years, has been stumbling but pulled out of it and has become the model type of professional that you'd love in pro football. So that'd be great. Okay, Drew Brees signed a 2-year deal with the Saints. Why is ESPN talking to him about being their Monday Night Football analyst? That's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.